There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that they catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, and to stand before the Son of God. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today we begin a new liturgical year. It's New Year's Day in the church. Sometimes we Christians find this a little strange, that in church, New Year's Day begins today rather than a month from now. When you come to think about it, it's today that makes all the sense in the world, and January 1st that makes little sense. Our liturgical year traces the life of Christ from the time when the Jews anxiously awaited his appearance, Advent proper, to his time in the womb, to his birth, to his being greeted by the shepherds and the angels and the magi, to his flight into Egypt and return, to his presentation and finding in the temple, to his 40 days praying in the desert and fasting, to his baptism, his public ministry, his miracle, his going up to Jerusalem, his entering into her on a donkey, to the Last Supper, to the agony, trial, crucifixion, and death, to his resurrection, ascension, sending forth of the Holy Spirit, and ultimately, as we anticipated last Sunday, to his return in glory with the eternal inauguration of the solemnity of Christ the King. This is what the liturgical year means. And Jesus told us 27 times in the Gospel, follow me. In each liturgical year, we do just that, tracing Jesus' footsteps along the route of salvation history, trying to become more and more like him whom we're following. Compared to this, the civil year means very little. Does anybody know the reason why we celebrate New Year's Day on January 1st? It's because in 46 BC, Julius Caesar decreed that the whole calendar would begin with the month dedicated to the pagan god Januarius, Janus, the one deity with two faces heading in opposite directions, one looking back, one looking forward. Caesar thought it was fitting because, in a sense, Janus would be facing forward to the year beginning and backward learning the lessons of the year just past. But let's be honest, how much does that tradition mean to you? For most of us, it makes just about as much sense as the lyrics of Auld Lang Syne. Today's New Year's Day in the church, on the other hand, really does mean something. If we're accustomed to making the good practice of New Year's resolutions, today is the fitting time to make them. Now is the time that the church wants us to make them, so that we can make this new liturgical year a real year of the Lord, Anus Domini, AD. So we prepare with Pope Francis to inaugurate the Jubilee Year of Mercy in just 9 days on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. It's important for each of us to recognize that this new liturgical year will be different than any liturgical year in the 2,000-year history of the Church. It's a year in which the Church wants to help us to grow in our understanding, our reception, and our sharing of God's merciful love. On Tuesday, I'll have the privilege to go to Florida to preach a day of recollection for all the priests of Miami on the connection between Advent Advent in the Year of Mercy. It's entitled Making Straight the Paths, because every Advent we hear the call of Isaiah, echoed by John the Baptist, to level the mountains of our pride, to fill up the valleys of our shallow prayer life, to clean up the debris that clogs the pathway between Christ and us. It's a time in which God cries out, "Comfort, comfort, O my people," and makes available the consolation of His Son, who came into this world not as a teddy bear or a security blanket, but as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, as the Good Samaritan who mercifully binds our wound and seeks through the balm of His mercy to restore us to full health. Advent, like the life of faith as a whole, is fundamentally dynamic. There's a double movement happening. We cry out, O come Emmanuel, O come divine Messiah, and God is coming. But it's not just for us to stay on our lazy boys waiting for Him. It's a time where, like the wise bridesmaids in Jesus' gospel parable, we say, the bridegroom is here, let us go out to meet Christ the Lord. And in this particular Advent dynamism, within the context of the Year of Mercy, Christ is coming to us with His merciful love, and we're called to run out and embrace Him in His mercy. We can interpret all of our Advent readings today in that key. In the Gospel, Jesus talks about the end of the world and how we're supposed to prepare for it. Beware, He tells us, that your hearts not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, so that that day will catch you by surprise. But be vigilant at all times and pray that you will have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's ask ourselves honestly before the Lord, are we drowsy or vigilant? Are we drunk with spirits or filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we overwhelmed with the anxieties of life, or do we throw our cares and anxieties on the Lord in prayer? Vigilance and prayer are the standard Christian attitudes, 365 days a year. Jesus gave us a parable about a second coming in which He contrasted the faithful and prudent steward who awaited His Master's return and faithfully fed himself and others with the nourishment the Master had provided, versus the unfaithful and stupid servant who said, "My master's long delayed, I got plenty of time," and began to get hammered and to abuse the servants under His care. We know that when Jesus came into the world the first time, some people were prayerful, vigilant, and ready, but most were not. Mary Immaculate was ready and said a hearty yes to God's will. St. Joseph was ready and therefore capable of adapting quickly to God's mysterious plan. The shepherds were ready, vigilant at night, and ran to Bethlehem as soon as they heard the good news of great joy. The Magi were ready, so ready in fact that they were able to discern the newborn king's presence in the presence of a brightly shining star. On the other hand, Herod wasn't ready. He was too caught up in his pride and sensuality, in his own drunkenness and regal anxieties, to recognize the source of his authority. The innkeepers weren't ready, too caught up in their business and in their need for order that they didn't have room to house the Creator. The scholars of the law were not ready to make even the 6-mile journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem downhill to learn from the divine legislator. The vast majority of the Jewish people, sadly, were not prepared to embrace the merciful Savior when at last He came. To use Jesus' words from today's Gospel, they allowed their hearts to become drowsy. They weren't ready. And Jesus wants us to learn from their mistakes. This new liturgical year is a gift of His mercy. It's a new start. It's a second chance, or a third, or a 90th. But it's an opportunity God wants us to seize and not squander. He wants this new church year, this year of mercy, to become the best spiritual year of your life and mine. And He will give us all the graces necessary for it to become so. But we have to hunger for it. We need to go out and seize it. We need to respond to this grace. If we're living this year prayerfully and awake, if we're going out to meet Christ who is coming toward us, if we're not hiding from Him, if we're standing before Him in prayer and standing with Him and seeking to bring His mercy out to others, we'll be living according to what St. Paul calls the Thessalonians to do in today's second reading. We'll allow the Lord to make us increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so as to strengthen our hearts to be blameless in holiness before our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. We'll conduct ourselves, He says, in a way always pleasing to God, because this, He says, is the way Jesus instructs us to live. This year of mercy is meant to help us to please God, whose greatest joy, as Pope Francis says, is forgiving us, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. It will lead us to seek to keep our souls clean and hearts blameless through regular reception of the sacrament of penance that restores our souls to their baptismal beauty. It will flourish in a life that increases and overflows in love for each other, seeking to share with others the same mercy that God has given us. When we ask God in the responsorial psalm today to make known to us His ways, to teach us His paths, to guide us in His truth, that is what He is seeking to do for us this Advent during the year of mercy. We prayed in the psalm today, "Good and upright is the Lord. He shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches them His way." This year is a way in which God is going to show us sinners the path of His mercy, so that we might come to receive it and have our lives changed so much that we in return will be able to be His instruments to show others His way, to teach our children His paths, to guide our friends to His truth. And it's to this Lord of mercy that we lift up our souls. I would encourage everyone to let the Advent wreath we've blessed and lit this weekend to become a symbol and a cause of our readiness for God's mercy. The most important part of an Advent wreath is not the color of the candles, as we know, which symbolize the four Sundays. It's not the evergreens, which symbolizes God's everlasting love. Most important part of the Advent wreath is the flame, which symbolizes that we're ready, that we're burning, that we're longing for the Lord, like those wise bridesmaids in the gospel parable who had their lamps lit in the middle of the night. Or like any of us, when a friend is coming over in darkness, we turn the light on. Or in the ancient world, they'd put a lit candle in the window so that they would recognize that the hosts were up, ready to receive them. That flame symbolizes, or it ought to symbolize, our readiness for this embrace with Jesus' merciful love. It's a sign of vigilance, that we're not falling asleep, that we're not letting our faith in His mercy and our longing for Him be extinguished. So let's get practical about how we're going to live this gift of Advent in the year of mercy. Advent is supposed to stoke our longing for God. But it's not the way most people, including most in our culture, and not even the majority of Catholics, live Advent. Many don't even live it at all. But the day after Thanksgiving start celebrating a holiday season that basically worships not the baby Jesus, but commerce, and that leads many people to spend more times in malls than they do in church, spend a night camped out outside a department store on Black Friday than they do before the Lord in vigilant prayer of adoration. Many spend Advent going from one Christmas party to another and celebrating, honestly, not Jesus, not His love and His teachings, but mistletoes and eggnog and the very drunkenness and carousing Jesus speaks to us about in the Gospel. Even for faithful Catholics, there's often a temptation to focus more on getting Christmas trees ready and preparing to welcome Santa Claus than there is getting our souls ready and preparing to embrace Jesus Christ. As Jesus indicates to us today in the Gospel, we have a choice about the type of Advent we're going to live. If we just go along with the flow, we're going to be dragged along into a type of Advent that will do us little, if no, spiritual good. But if we're going to live a good and holy Advent, we need consciously to go against the current. So I'm going to ask you to go against the current in four ways. First, go out to meet Christ who is coming to us in His mercy this Advent. This Advent, prepare to make the best confession of your life. And then resolve to come throughout this year of mercy at least once a month to obtain that healing. The more we receive Jesus' mercy, the more we'll understand it, and the more we'll be able to become like God in His mercy for others. Second, go out to meet Jesus in the Eucharist as often as you can throughout this Advent season and beyond. This is where we receive the body given and the blood poured out mercifully for the remission of our sins. The bridegroom is here, and the wisest of us will come out to meet Him as much as we possibly can. If you can't come to daily Mass during the Advent season because you're working or going to school, I'd encourage you at least to meditate on the readings of the Mass each day, or to watch Mass on television, or to watch it at any time of the day on Catholic TV or the app on your phone. But lift up your soul to the Lord each day this Advent. The Lord's coming for you, not just on Sunday. Third, go out to meet Jesus in prayer and study of the faith. If you're not yet coming to adore God here in the Eucharist at St. Francis Xavier, which is the fundamental reason why you're such a strong parish, give Jesus this gift as you prepare for His birthday on Christmas. And then allow Him to show you His path and teach you His ways in sacred study. As we get close to Christmas, you'll be receiving from this parish Matthew Kelly's great new book, Rediscovering Jesus, which I'd urge you to use to get to know Jesus better, to get to know yourselves better in His eyes, and to get to know what He's asking of you better. And finally, go out with others to meet Jesus, who's coming to you and me with His mercy, with His body and blood, with the opportunity of prayer, and wanting to show us His ways. The greatest gift we could give to anybody we care about at Christmas is not something wrapped in tinsel. The greatest gift we can give anyone is the gift of God. And the more we give God, the more we please God. With some people, when we're giving the Lord Jesus, we can be direct. We can give Him a crucifix. We can give Him a great spiritual book. We can give Him a novena. We can give Him a spiritual bouquet. With many who are distant from the faith, we have to be a little bit more subtle, but in some way give the Lord. In the midst of a world that is trying to take Christ out of Christmas, it's crucial for us who believe in Him, who have received the countless gifts of His merciful love, to spread our love of Him and keep Him front and center, not only in the way we spend our time this season, in the way we prepare our soul, but also in the way we imitate His generosity. It's important for us to ponder the great gift that St. Peter and St. John gave to that crippled man at the beautiful gate that we read in the Acts of the Apostles. Aurum et argentum non habeo, said habeo do. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise. Let's all give that gift. Each Advent, this Advent, is a gift to the Lord to bring us back to what's most important in life. God's love for us and our response to Him in faith and love is what is most important. On this first day of this new liturgical year, on this first day of the rest of our life, let us ask the Lord Jesus, who is coming for us, for the grace to make this year a true holy year, a year of prayer, a year of faith, a year of mercy, a year of increased Christian love, a true Annus Domini. O come, Emmanuel, let us go out to meet Christ the Lord. Praise be Jesus Christ.